Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. If you want to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both movie chronicles and movie reviews. Now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. I am one of your hosts, Tobias Powell, joined with your other host, Trent. Trent, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yep.
Been a crazy week, but happy to be here.
Yeah, for sure.
Life's been for crazy. Sure. I'm busy. Yeah.
But, yep, I hear that.
Always look forward to this evening where we get to discuss nerd stuff and movies and have a good time.
For sure. Yep. Cool. Yeah, did you want to start us off with something? What have you been seeing?
Not a whole lot, really, at least that I could think of. But one thing that was announced, I guess, today officially, though I feel like it's been announced multiple times, but for some reason this is the official announcement that we're getting a Rings of Power Season 3. Now,
yep.
I like binge watched the first season in less than a week and then watched the whole second season. Oh, yeah. I didn't finish the second season. I didn't watch the last two episodes because really I didn't care. It was hard to get through in so many ways, especially as a Tolkien fan. And now having I had a lot of knowledge of Tolkien then, but now my knowledge since then has grown so much because I've been reading a lot of Tolkien. I've read The Silmarillion. I've read Children of Húrin. I'm reading Beren and Lúthien. I'm also reading The Hobbit as well. I'm going to make way through trilogy. I recently read The Fellowship last year, and I'm gonna make it through The Hobbit and then the three books. And yeah, just saying, like, as I've like been delving into Tolkien more, the more I just absolutely abhor Rings of Power and what they did with the lore, with the timeline. But whatever. So originally their plan was to make 5 seasons, right? So everyone's like wondering, okay, after the second season, the viewership dropped off like ridiculous amounts. Like it was already low,
right?
And it was half of what the first season was, or something like that, 60%. I can't remember what it was. And so it's like, okay, are they going to renew it for season 3? Well, yeah, of course they are. They've put so much money and they've invested so much, they kind of have to. But are they going to do the 5 seasons? Well, they haven't officially announced it, but they also haven't announced that this is the last season. But my theory is that this is going to be the last season for a lot of reasons. For one, they're doing a big time jump for this season. Like Amazon actually announced it.
Yeah.
Which at this point they've screwed with the lore and the timeline so much that a time jump really doesn't mean anything, because apparently Sauron's supposed to be like forging the One Ring, though in the timeline he's supposed to have already forged the One Ring if we're following the timeline, but they don't care.
Yeah.
And whatever. I think they're doing a time jump probably so they can just wrap it all up and finish with season 3. I could be wrong. I hope that's the case, because I want this to be done. Rings of Power season 3. Tobias, what do you think about that?
I don't really. I'm a little shocked, honestly, that it hasn't gotten canceled, but I mean, I haven't been following it. Like, I haven't watched any of it, and I think I watched a little bit of the first episode. But yeah, I mean, they should have just never made this, honestly.
Yeah, or make it and just stick with the lore. You guys have the source material.
Oh, yeah.
Stick with the lore. Like, come on. Like, that's all they had to do, you know, but they had to make Galadriel such a prominent character and make her a girl boss and then have a love triangle between Sauron, whatever his name is, and Elrond or something. I don't even know what they were doing, dude. It was so weird. And then her husband, she has a husband who's literally is missing in the storyline, but she's like thirsting after Sauron, the devil. Well,
so messed
Celeborn is who knows where. Like what?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? I don't know. I don't.
It's ridiculous.
Don't get me started. Okay. It's just. And they make the rings out of order. Like, what? Why? Okay, whatever. There's such a good story there that they could tell.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, like I said, I'm not shocked that they're doing season three because they've invested so much that they have to. They can't admit failure yet. They know that it's a failure. They know the viewership isn't there. They know they're just going to lose money by doing another season. But Jeff Bezos' ego is probably, too big to admit that this is a failure and they need to just cut their losses.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much he'd be involved, but yeah.
I mean, this is his baby. Like, he's the head of Amazon. Like, he initiated the deal with the Tolkien estate to get the rights to the appendix of the Return of the King in order to make this story. So I mean I'm sure there's other executives involved, of course, but I mean it's his company. Like he pushed for it.
Yeah Interesting.
And the Tolkien estate like is to blame as well. I think Sam Tolkien, maybe it's like his Tolkien's grandson, great grandson, I don't know. He's been like all for the Rings of Power and given approval, and he's been, he obviously let the rights go to Amazon and everything. So like he's, the Tolkien estate's just much to blame, which means Tolkien's rolling in his grave. And anyways,
interesting.
I wish Christopher was still alive.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, when did Christopher Tolkien die? I don't even know.
No clue.
Because, he was so involved with so much of, publishing a lot of his father's works, and editing and publishing a lot of his works, like The Silmarillion, like The Children of Húrin, and Beren and Lúthien, and the Fall of Gondolin, and all these other books and stories within Middle Earth that have been published because of Christopher. And so I don't know. I guess
January of 2020.
2020. Oh, wow. Okay. That was so soon. Recently.
Yep.
I mean, I say recently, that was 5 years ago. It was half a decade ago.
Yeah. True.
But weird. Anyways, that is weird. Right, that's it.
We have gotten a few trailers this week. We got a Thunderbolts trailer. We got a.
I guess the Super Bowl happened.
How to Train Your Dragon trailer, and, I guess we got a bunch of TV spots and stuff for Captain America. But Captain America comes out tonight. I mean, it's premiering tonight. So
I am going to go see it right after this.
Oh my gosh.
I'm honestly really excited. From what I've heard, this movie is it's just going to be a fun ride. hate watching the movie. Apparently it is bad.
Literally Red Hulk is in it for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
So Like I've already said, you can go back a couple episodes.
Yep,
we've seen all the scenes that Red Hulk was in. Like, yep, we saw all
you're
of
right.
it.
You're right. Apparently this movie looks like it was reshot over and over again, where it's just convoluted. Scenes don't work, don't fit together. Dialogue doesn't make any sense. A lot of exposition to, explain things that they aren't able to rightly convey because of the reshoots or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
The fight scenes are meh. The whole movie's just I thought it would be like a mid Marvel movie. Like I thought they would have cut out all the political stuff, which it sounds like they did for the most part. However, I think Red Hulk is supposed to be like Trump. Like he represents Trump. Yeah. Like that was always their intention. Mm. But I guarantee you they cut out a lot. But yeah. Other than that, as far as just a movie, it's just it sounds like it's garbage.
Yeah.
Which should be expected. So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
It's it'll be interesting.
Yes.
It's got like 48 on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
It's down to 48. It was 50.
Yeah.
53 or 56 51, this morning.
I think. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's down to 48. It's down to, I think, the third worst Marvel movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's down there with Eternals and what else is down there? I don't know. Can't remember.
This was supposed to be their big revival, reboot, yeah. Restart, rejuvenate the MCU movie. They spent probably $400 million to get this movie out. They're going to lose at least half of
they're
that.
Spending so much on advertising too. Like I see it
everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. Like more than any other Marvel movie.
Even in China.
All the Super Bowl TV spots, like millions and millions of dollars for those, let alone.
16 million or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw in China they like made him not black or something.
I don't know if that's real. So like I don't know if you know about this, but like for The Force Awakens, they removed Finn from the poster in China. For Black Panther, they did something weird with him. They definitely never showed like T'Challa's face without the mask, but they did something else weird with this mask or something. And I feel like there was another instance, but I don't know if that one was real, but it sounds like it might be, where in China they literally like make him not look, he just looks like a superhero. He's he just looks like a generic superhero. You don't know if he's white or black. Like his blackness is not prominent or displayed at all.
That's funny.
So
yeah.
It just shows the hypocrisy of Disney. They'll bow the knee to anyone that will give them money.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, yeah, they're so desperate for it. Mm-hmm. Like, they need money from China for this movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's so funny.
My projection is, like, it's probably going to be between $300 and $400 million box office worldwide. Maybe less, but a lot of people are saying 4 to 5, maybe like upwards of 6, which even then they don't make their money back. If it's $400 million budget, they need to make at least 800 or 900 to make a prof to break even, 800 or 900. Yeah. So my projection is probably like 350, which is probably could possibly be on the high end. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. It's supposed to be terrible. So, anything else on that?
I'll probably talk about it when the movie comes out. But
yeah,
apparently they do the whole give the marginalized hero who's doesn't actually have superpowers all the powers and all the abilities in order to defeat the villain. So he gets Ant-Man's helmet. He gets vibranium. He has a vibranium shield. He has adamantium suit or something. Oh no, he has a vibranium suit and adamantium wings, I think. Something like that. So
yeah,
he gets all the, I think there was something else, but he gets all these abilities in order to defeat the Red Hulk. Where else have they done that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe Gaia in Secret Wars, where she gets all the powers of the superheroes. Maybe Agent Carter in What If, where she gets all the superpowers in order to be the hero. Because they can't just, let the hero be a hero to make sacrifices and find the will within himself to defeat the villain. Spider-Man. Iron Man. I would love it if they just had they backed themselves in a corner with Sam Wilson because he's not a super soldier, and yet you're pitting him up against a Hulk. And
yeah,
I don't know, like, because I was thinking, like, think of, like, I have my problems with the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. Homecoming has elements that I like. One thing I do like is that he loses his suit because he's irresponsible, mm-hmm. so he has to take responsibility. He uses his own suit in order to fight Vulture in the end, and mm-hmm. he defeats him.
His own suit that's way worse than his fancy Tony Stark suit, and he uses that suit to defeat Vulture.
Right. He uses his own powers, his own abilities, and makes the sacrifice that's needed mm-hmm. to be the hero and defeat the villain. And he, you know, he puts himself up against the ropes, and up against the villain in order to defeat him, not with the assistance of Tony Stark's suit. Yeah. And like that's what a hero does. Like I said, Iron Man, like, he is his suit, but he makes his own suit. But oftentimes in his movie, especially the first one, like, he makes the sacrifice at the end, you know, to take the arc reactor upon himself in order to defeat Obadiah. But he, like, makes that sacrifice, and it's not like he's given all these special abilities in the third act in order to defeat him. It's like, no, his suit's, like, destroyed by the end, and he lays his life down in order to defeat the villain.
Yep. Yeah, so, for sure.
Anyways. Captain America.
Yeah, we haven't had a good story like that from Marvel for a long time.
No.
We just don't get
a good story.
Yeah, anyways. For sure.
Anyways, that's that. What do you got? You got anything?
Well, else? Oh. Yeah, like I said, sorry, go ahead.
You mentioned How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. It's just a remake of the animated film. Like,
no, yay. So the director of this one directed the second and third of the animated.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So he literally says that they barely changed the script of the original. Barely changed it to fit the live action.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess that's fine if you're making a live action adaptation of animated film, but it's like, still, why?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, why are they doing it? That's why. Why are they making a live action How to Train Your Dragon?
Well, it's just to make money. I guess. That's literally it. Well, that's with any of these. Like, why make? Yeah. I mean, this whole thing of making live action versions of animated movies has always been dumb. Like, it just has.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to do it, you should do it for a movie, which we've said this before. You should do it for a movie that didn't do well, but had a good concept and a good story. So you just remarket it and do it as a live action movie. Like, that's the only reason you should. If you're redoing a really great movie already, like, that's dumb. It just is. And so it does, like, even if they completely changed it from the original How to Train Your Dragon, it's like, well, we would have issues with that too. It's like, this was already so great. Why are you doing something completely different? But the problem is, like, why are you making a live action version of this movie that's already so great? Like, make something completely original, or find something that didn't do well in animation for whatever reason, even if it, like, is well received now, like, people love it, but it just, like, didn't do well in the box office because circumstances. Like, there's tons of movies like that. I'm pretty sure like Atlantis and what's the Treasure Planet? Like those didn't do that well because of just because of the circumstances. It's like remake those into live action. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, obviously that's a different franchise, but still.
Different studio if you're comparing to
The
Hatchet and Dragon. But
I mean, this all started at Disney, this whole concept of making live action.
So. I mean, it's there's two reasons. Like, it's because they can now. They have the technology to do it.
Yeah.
And, well, three reasons. They can't make anything original for this. Secondly, all their original stuff doesn't work. So, like, okay, well, let's just take what we've already have and bastardize it. And then thirdly, to make money. Those are three reasons. Because the live-action Disney movies, hate them or love them, they've brought in billions of dollars. Like, I think at least, like, two or three of them have grossed over $1 billion. And with Lion King, I think Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin. At least those are the three that I can think of. I know Aladdin did, but I'm pretty sure those three gross over $1 billion. The Beauty and the Beast one was actually decent. I like that one. The Cinderella one was decent as well. I remember that one, but that one didn't make as much, I don't think. Aladdin was dumb. And Lion King was awful. So, I don't know.
Yep.
Just stop.
What did the new Lion King make?
I don't know. I think it ended up hitting $1 billion. So there's your other
really?
One. Yeah, yeah, it did. Yeah, I remember. Because ended up outpacing Sonic 3 at the end. Mostly it's worldwide, international, where they bring in most of the money. I think it ended up outpacing Sonic 3. I think Sonic 3 ended up at like 800 or 900 million. And Mufasa barely broke $1 billion. From what I heard. So.
I don't know. This says it made 670 million.
Really? Worldwide? Yeah. Huh.
I mean, I assume that's worldwide.
Well, maybe I was mistaken. I think I just saw a post, but it seemed legit, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's saying about almost 700 million, so 670.
Huh. Okay, well, there you go. Never mind then. So still a lot of money.
Maybe they maybe broke even. Maybe made a little bit.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the budget was, but if it was under 200 million, and then made a little bit of a profit.
Doubt it.
I don't think it was over 200, but I don't know. I just.
Oh yeah, it was only 200 million, so yeah, they made some money.
Okay, I mean, still okay, that's still a lot. it probably broke even, especially because if most of that's international, they don't get as much back internationally as they do domestically, and so I don't know how the math works. You know, like they only get about like half from the theaters. Then you have marketing. Yeah, $200 million budget for the film, and then you have like probably $100 million for marketing, so that's $300 million. Make it back. So yeah, it probably broke even.
Yeah. Yeah, they might have gotten just a little bit, was all.
Yeah. But then you have Sonic 3, which probably was a little bit under 700, 600, somewhere around there. They had a budget of like 100 million at the most. Maybe 130, I think. A little over 100, I meant. And then that movie did make a profit. And was what more well received, and was a lot more popular than Mufasa, and did better domestically.
They made $419 million. Sonic 3.
Worldwide. What? I thought it was more than that. Okay.
Yeah, they only made 419.
Let's do my research before this.
Let me see what their budget was.
Okay, I don't know. Anyways, it's hard for movies.
120 million.
Budget. 120, yeah. So, I mean, they made a little bit of profit, probably.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, other studios don't spend as much as Disney at marketing, but it's still probably a decent marketing budget. And, but a lot of that was domestic for Sonic, I'm pretty certain. And so. Yeah.
Well, it did. It did better than Sonic 2.
It was the best out of the three, which you don't see very often.
Yeah, yeah.
The third film in a trilogy.
First two, okay. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which I mean, obviously they made money off of the other two, so they would have made money off of this one too. So.
Right.
Yeah. If it's 120, so then. Figured 240. So, yeah, they would have made a few million.
Yeah.
Crazy. They probably made at least 100 million off of it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Enough to, yeah, greenlight a fourth movie.
Huh. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Did you end up seeing Sonic 3?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Ah, okay.
Nope.
Yeah, definitely see it when it comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
It was fun. It was good. I loved it. I liked it. It's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else you got? Anything else?
The only other thing was... See, I said one other movie. What was it?
We got the G20 movie.
Oh, Thunderbolts.
Oh, Thunderbolts.
What's G20?
What's her name? Viola Davis. She is playing Madam President in a action hero movie. With Amazon. Did you not see this?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so. I think it's G20, either G20 or G8 or G something. So basically, it's like Die Hard, but with a female president, a black female president. So in case you're not catching their drift, they thought that a certain someone was going to be president by now.
That's hilarious.
Someone would be president at the release of this film.
Yeah.
They dropped the trailer for it, and it got ratioed pretty terribly on YouTube, and everyone's making fun of it because it just looks really dumb. And
oh, man.
Something no one wants.
Yeah. Well, they thought that... Well, I mean, I heard that it's kind of like the same thing with...
Brave New World.
Yeah, that it was basically like when you watch it, you're like, oh, they thought Kamala was going to win.
Kamala. Kamala.
Which is just hilarious. Kamala.
Yeah.
Like, that's just bad.
It's pretty bad. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. Like, I'm thinking this year is probably going to be worse than I was expecting as it pertains to movies. Because Hollywood thought they were going in a certain direction. I think now it's like coming to that tail end, but this is the tail. I don't know. I keep going back and forth on that. It's like, are we going to see some good stuff this year? Probably, hopefully. But I think we're going to see a lot of just garbage this year as well. And they're all going to try, like, I'll keep saying, I started watching Daredevil again.
Oh, yeah.
The wife and I were going through Daredevil. It is so good.
yeah.
One of the best TV shows, man. But, like, I have high hopes for Born Again, as I've been saying. Like, I think they caught it at the right time. However, after hearing about Brave New World, that it concerns me because it was a similar situation where they did a lot of reshoots, where they made a lot of changes because they knew... The culture was going in a certain direction, and they needed to try to put together something. But they also realize, oh, this movie's terrible. Like, internally, they realize this is terrible.
Yeah.
Daredevil was a little different because they actually, like, started over, like, script, reshooting at the whole thing. Like, they started ground zero once they made it to, like, episode 6 or something. So, I don't know. Hopefully there's... I think I keep saying this, but, like, I do hope that they caught it early enough to where this is going to be good. And it comes out in a couple weeks, so...
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to watch it for sure.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, Thunderbolts. Any other thoughts on that? Any new thoughts?
I don't know. It kind of looks fun.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have high expectations for like a good story, but the trailer I think looks fun. I really like what's his
John
name?
John Walker, Bucky.
The Red Guardian.
Red Guardian.
Actor.
Yeah.
The actor.
You know what's funny is we haven't gotten much good
Red Guardian. I mean,
right.
He's kind of just a buffoon in
what, Black Widow?
Black was Widow, he? Yeah.
I still haven't seen that movie.
I think that's the only one that he's in.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. If he takes on like more of a leadership role in this one, I feel like it'd be better.
Probably not. He's just going to be the,
probably not, the yeah.
toxic, well, masculine. Yeah.
The problem is like, yeah,
comic
relief. I'm expecting it to mostly just be Yelena? Is that her name? Yelena?
Sure. Fake Black Widow or the...
Yeah. Black well, I'm pretty Widow sure she's going to be running it, which is
she is
not going to be. So, yeah. Looks like it could be entertaining, but it also could just be complete garbage.
You know,
oh,
funny.
I really like John Walker. Like, he was the only good thing about the...
Falcon Winter Soldier.
I keep forgetting every title of everything.
Yes, Falcon Winter Soldier. Yes, John Walker did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, so Tobias, how many super soldiers are in Thunderbolts?
I guess it would be 3.
Yep, 3. How many super soldiers are in Captain America? 4.
0.
Zip.
That's funny.
I guess Red Hulk, okay, is technically a super soldier. He takes the serum.
Yes, that's true.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think Yelena technically has a serum in her too, so you could technically say there's 4.
I think the Black Widow thing is different.
It is a little different, but she has a serum that enhances her.
Yeah, right. I think so.
I'm pretty sure they take something.
Something. Or they just go into like really intense training. But yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, and why does the Seinfeld girl looks just like the girl that just got confirmed as the...
What, Tulsi Gabbard?
What?
A Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah. She looks exactly like Tulsi.
You think so? I mean...
Well, they have the gray hair, the silver hair in the front.
Yeah, I guess. One of them's not like the other, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess they might look a little similar. That's funny.
It's with the silver hair. They both have the silver hair in the front.
Right. She, like, keeps popping up, like, the Seinfeld lady. She keeps popping up in Marvel projects, but
she's
like, inconsequential.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's her role? I mean, I guess she's putting together
team. She was supposed to be, like, the Nick Fury that was putting together a team. Like, she kept popping up randomly to, with these lesser characters to kind of put together a team, like a Suicide Squad type team. Yeah.
Right.
And And now she's got her team, I guess. So
sure.
I don't know. I actually might go see this one in theaters. It'll be in theaters, right?
Yeah, it'll be theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably see it. The villain is interesting. Like, there's a little bit of history behind the villain. It's Sentry. He's like actual like superhero or superpowered person. So I don't know like where they came from or where he came from or what, but.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly haven't looked into it much. It's a comic book villain, so.
Yep.
I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah.
We shall see.
But that's, about it. I mean, I don't think I saw anything else.
Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland is bringing back, or not bringing back, they're bringing in Luke Skywalker. World. It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's not even old Luke. It's young Luke.
Luke, which, whatever, dude. Like, 6 years too late, Disney. 7 years, six, I don't know how many years it's been. Six or 7 years too late. They're, like, trying to change it now. They're, like, lifting the timeline embargo or something. It's so, like, you realize Galaxy's Edge for the last 6 years has been set right after The Last Jedi. Like, that's the timeline. It stayed there. So you only get Rey, you get Kylo, Poe, Finn, Rose, Tico, and that's it. R2-D2 and C-3PO. Like, that's it. Characters that no one likes, no one cares about.
Yep.
They built an entire hotel around those characters. That failed. Galaxy's Edge, you go to it, and there's some cool Star Wars elements, but it just feels like you're like in the Middle East or something. Like it doesn't like feel like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, and because it's a made up planet, but what's funny is Disneyland doesn't do this for any of their other like properties or lands. Like you go to Fantasyland or you go to Avatar, and it's like all the Avatar stuff. It's not set in a certain timeline. Cars Land. The Cars Land isn't set like at the first movie. It's like no, it's just Cars Land. Like it doesn't have to be set during a certain time. You could have anyone you want, any of the characters doing whatever they want at any time of the year. I'm trying to think of, or like you know, like and then you go over to Universal. You have Harry Potter. Rebecca and I a year ago went to both Disneyland and Universal Studios and. I enjoyed Universal Studios so much more than I enjoyed Disney. There were some elements of Disney that were fun, but Universal is just like so much more immersive, and especially Hogwarts or the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, it just feels like you're walking into the world of Harry Potter, and it feels like that, and you experience it, and you get to see all these different things from all throughout the whole world of Harry Potter. It's like it's great. It's awesome. And it's not set during a certain timeline. There's time period. It's not tied to that. It's just, it's just dumb.
Yeah. Anyways, for sure.
They're bringing Luke. Oh, apparently the Luke Skywalker is, I can't remember which one. It's either Orlando or Anaheim, where Luke's only going to be at one of those. I can't remember which one. So one of them is still tied to the timeline. Another one's like not. So.
Wow.
Whatever.
Yeah, they're gonna like, I wonder how much more they're gonna change in those, because
who knows,
it's gonna cost them a lot of money, like if they start changing stuff to get it.
Well, I mean they're losing a lot of money, and Universal has Epic Universe opening up, and that's gonna hurt them a lot.
For sure.
Who knows?
What, guess we'll see.
Yep. We shall see.
All right. Cool. Anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, I kind of wanted to talk a little more about animation, but I don't have a lot of time. I watched two animated films from my childhood that I hadn't seen since I was like 7. Mm. The Secret of Nim and Secret of Nim 2. Mm. Do you remember much from those?
Yeah. I mean, I remember them in general. I guess I don't necessarily remember the full details of the stories or anything, but I remember of them.
Right. Having not watched it since I was probably 7, like maybe is like later, maybe it was like 5 or 6. I like deeply remember a lot of the second film. Like I'd always kept those memories in my head. Like I remember the twist at the end. I remember the impact that the story had, and I remember different elements of the story pretty vividly. And then and then watching it, there were scenes throughout the films like, oh my gosh, like I remember this scene. Like I had forgot. It was like I was unlocking memories as I was watching this film. And it was just like so wild. But one thing I observed and noticed is movies back in the like 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, animated kids films were so much darker than they are today. Mm-hmm. But they were darker in that they dealt with real hard topics and situations in life. They dealt with death and how to handle death and overcome hardships and trials and stories of betrayal and so forth. Like really like adult themes in kids movies for kids. Yeah. And it's like, I watched all these movies growing up. Like there were some scary films, like scary stuff in certain films, like Pinocchio always scared me with like the whale scene. Mm. But for the most part, like I was able to handle it. But like I feel like kids today, a lot of kids today probably could not handle a lot of those animated films, just because our kids are weak. because we feed them gobbledygook, we feed them stuff that's watered down and just sun, you know, teaching them that life's just sunshine and rainbows. And but like. But then I was thinking, like, okay, well, like, what is a movie that does have really kind of darker, deeper themes? And Wild Robot is one of those. And that's one thing I just appreciate so much about Wild Robot is it deals with hard stuff and, like, adults can enjoy it. And it's not just watered down for kids. And so, anyways. Like, we just need to not be afraid to tell hard stories to our kids in the medium, in that form of storytelling in animation. We need to go back to that. And I've just enjoyed showing my kids a lot of these older films. So
yeah, that's good.
Anyways, fun stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of good old animated movies that I should start watching more of.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Well, want me to close this out?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening to another episode. This was a fun one, and hope you enjoyed it, and hope you guys continue to support us. Go support us on Patreon. We got a whole lot of content over there, many reviews, movies, a TV show coming up, and yeah, please consider supporting us. And until then, glorify God and watch good movies. Mm-hmm. We're out. The Powell Bros. We're out. Bye-bye.
Bye.